Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we're about to get into your word heavy this morning. Father, I pray that the hearts and minds of these folks are prepared for the truth they are about to receive. I pray that this message would be an encouragement for those who are suffering even now, and a reminder to all of us, our suffering here on earth is only temporary, but our glory in heaven with you will be forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, today we're going back for a second helping from the book of 1 Peter. And today I just want to give you just a tiny bit more background on how and when this book was written. During the time that the apostle wrote this particular letter, all over the Roman Empire, there was terrible persecution of Christians going on. So Peter's main theme in this particular book is maintaining your Christian hope during times of suffering. He encourages his readers to stand strong in the faith. He reminds them that, look, I know you're going through a hard time, but stay strong in the faith, because the day is coming when Jesus will return to this earth to set up his kingdom, and you want to make sure you're ready. He also encourages us to stay focused on the things that are eternal instead of getting caught up in the temporary pleasures that this world offers us. He gives us instructions on how Christians are supposed to behave. We talked about that last week in great detail. He says that we're to crave the things of God so that we can grow to maturity in our Christian faith. See, no longer, Christians, are we supposed to engage in the same kind of behaviors that we engaged in before we got saved. That's not for us anymore. Peter says, strive to do good, even if it means you're going to suffer for it. Well, wait a minute. That don't seem fair. I'm supposed to strive to do good, and even though I'm doing good, I might still suffer for it. That's what he said. But listen, before you get to thinking that you're being treated unfairly, Jesus set the greatest example that's ever been set for us in this. He remained obedient to the will of God, even to the point of death on a cross. Peter says, although your present sufferings are painful, keep in mind you're not suffering in vain. You know, I told you last week, remember, if you're backsliding, God may come in and get your attention a little bit to get you back on course. He does that because he loves you. But what if there are times in your life, not that you've achieved perfection, but your prayer life is solid, you're in the Word every day, you're trying hard to love people and be Christ-like, and yet suffering still comes upon you? What's going on there? Folks, this is part of God's pruning process. Just like you prune a tree or a plant to make it grow the way you want it to grow, God allows us to endure suffering on occasion because it helps to mold us and create in us something that he can better work with. It's all part of the sanctification process. Peter says, your time on earth is short. Make the most of every opportunity to use your gifts and abilities that God has given you, because when Christ comes back, God's judgment's coming back with him. All people are going to be judged according to what they've done. Now, for the believer, this is not regarding our salvation. That's been settled at the cross. But our works that we did for God, they're going to be judged to determine our rewards in heaven. But for the unbeliever, their works will be judged apart from God. They're going to be found measuring up short, and they will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Now, let's get down to our message for today. The title is Shepherd of the Suffering. We're going to receive some instructions for how church leaders are supposed to conduct their business, but also how all Christians ought to be behaving in the church. Peter is going to remind us of the importance of remaining alert in the face of attacks from the devil. Let me share this with you. If you're resting easy and you're not paying attention because you don't think the devil is trying to attack you, you're going to get took out. The devil is going to beat you down. You got to stay alert. More on that in a minute. We also need to be watchful for the return of Jesus. Let's get started. Verse 1. Peter says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed." Who are these elders Peter's speaking to? Well, first of all, elders are pastors, but there are also other people who have positions of influence in the church. In our church today, it also includes deacons. It includes trustees, but even people who are not on the board. It is folks in the church who have reputations as mature Christians, and therefore their opinions and their advice are sought after on a regular basis. This is who Peter is talking to. He says, "I appeal to you as a fellow elder." You may remember when we were studying 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, one of the things the Apostle John never did was say, "Hey, I was one of Jesus's best friends, so you better listen to what I got to say." He showed humility. Peter does the same thing. Look what Peter says. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder." He doesn't bother to say, "Look, I was one of the 12 apostles, and on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved just from one message I preached." He doesn't say that at all. He doesn't put himself above these men. He speaks to them as one of their own. He says, "You guys are elders. Well, as a fellow elder and somebody who's going to partake in the glory of Jesus just like you, I'm coming to you right where you're at. I've got some things I want to share with you." He also tells us, "You can trust what I'm telling you because I was an eyewitness to the suffering of Jesus." Now, folks, Peter says that we're going to share in Jesus' glory when he comes back. How I wish you could all remember this when you're going through times of trial. We are going to share in the glory of Jesus one day. Now, Peter tells us earlier in this epistle that if we share in the suffering for the cause of Christ, we're also going to share in his glory when he comes back. Be encouraged by that. Something good's coming. Now he goes on to say, "As elders in the church, be shepherds of the flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing as God wants you to be." Anybody who serves as an elder in the church should work to take care of the people in the congregation and protect them, just like a good and loving shepherd protects his flock. Let me give you an example. I heard a story about this man who was a preacher, and he got pretty fired up because some developer came into town and was trying to build a strip club right next door to the church. Now, this went to court, and the pastor is being questioned by this developer's attorney, and he comes up and he goes, "Oh, so you're a church pastor, huh?" And the pastor says, yes. And he says, "Well, isn't it true that the word pastor actually comes from the word shepherd? Doesn't pastor mean shepherd?" And the pastor said, "Yes." And then this attorney, he smiles and very sarcastically, he says, "Then, Mr. Shepherd, why are you here today in court instead of caring for your sheep?" And the pastor says, "Because today I'm here fighting the wolves." See, this particular pastor, he loved his congregation and he wanted to protect them from sin. Peter says all of us need to have that same kind of attitude, especially if we're serving in a position of authority in the church. We don't serve with a grudging heart. We serve because we want to, because we love people. You know, all too often in the church, and I don't mean just in this church, I mean in the church of today, trying to get somebody to serve in a position of leadership, hey, it's like pulling teeth. Folks do not want to do it. Peter says, if you're going to serve, you should do it willingly. I'm going to tell you this straight. Now, I'm telling you this with love, but I'm also telling you this with truth. God doesn't want anyone to serve him if they do it grudgingly. He doesn't want you to serve if you're going to do it with a pouting attitude like a spoiled little kid. But time and again, what do we hear? Well, I've been doing that kind of a long time, man. It's sort of kind of somebody else's turn to do that. But I guess if you can't find nobody else, I'll do it. Listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but if that's the way you feel, I hope you don't help. Because God wants people to serve who have a burning desire to serve. That's why he gave you the talents and abilities he gave you, because he expects you to use them for the benefit of the entire congregation. If you can only be lukewarm in your service to God, you will receive zero blessing from that. If you can't get excited about your service for the Lord, then don't serve. However, and as Frank O'Pinion used to say, there's always a however in life. You better remember this. If you fail to use those gifts and abilities that God has given you, you may be in store for some unpleasant consequences. We need some folks in the Church of America today who will get fired up about serving God and do it with the right spirit in their hearts. Now, Peter also says, those who are appointed as elders in the church should not be greedy for money. Eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Look, if a guy gets into the ministry, or a girl, by the way, a whole lot of lady preachers today. If a person gets into the ministry for money, they're getting into it for all the wrong reasons. Peter says you ought to be eager to serve because you want to please God, not because you're trying to get rich. Now, listen, money can be a great blessing to a church if it's used properly, but it can also be a terrible curse to a church if it's used improperly. First Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and been pierced with many griefs. Jesus says something very similar in Luke chapter 16. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. He will either love one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know I'm telling you the truth. Think about it. Everyone sitting in here has at one time or another turned on the TV. You see some televangelist wearing an Armani suit, big Rolex, all kinds of diamond rings on his fingers. Now, some of them guys started out as scam artists, but not all of them. Some of the most well-known guys who fell from grace hard, they started out in the ministry for the right reasons. But somewhere along the way, as they grew in popularity, they were corrupted and they were led astray. They betrayed their calling for money. And I'm going to tell you, this is not false humility, but I'm telling you the truth. This is precisely why I utterly refuse to have anything to do with the finances of the church. I refuse. I want no part of that at all. This church has duly elected people in the form of trustees and a treasurer who handle all the money. It doesn't go through me. I don't want to have anything to do with it. When a pastor starts getting his hands involved in the finances of the church, he's heading into dangerous territory. Peter says, serve because you're eager to serve, not because you're trying to get rich. He also says in this same verse, don't lord your positions over those in the congregation, but rather be a living example of how a mature Christian is supposed to act. So look, if you're in a position of authority in the church, you got to realize you've been put there to serve, not to boss people around. Now, out in the business world, I'm sure many of you have had managers or supervisors. They get the wrong idea. They get the terms respect and fear mixed up. They think if they can cause you to fear them, that equals respect for their position. Peter says, look, man, it shouldn't be that way. That's not the way you do things in the church. Jesus says the same thing in Mark chapter 10. Now listen, this is God in the flesh speaking. Here's what he says. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, that means us, those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for men. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He says, listen to me. I'm God in the flesh. And even I didn't come down to this earth to be served. I came here to serve other people and purchase their salvation with my own blood. So if you want to be my follower, don't try to act like a big shot. Don't try to boss people around. Serve one another out of love. If you do this, you'll receive great rewards in heaven. Peter confirms this. Verse 4, listen to what he says. And when the chief shepherd appears, you know who that is, right? When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Once again, elders in the church are to show the same kind of love and concern and protection for their congregation as a loving shepherd does for his sheep. Why? Because when the chief shepherd comes back, he's going to hold us accountable. Now, in the next two verses, the Apostle Peter is going to talk with us about the importance of remaining humble. I'm getting ready to tell you something that you might want to write down. It's simple, but it's true. If you are filled with pride, it is impossible to receive God's blessings. I'll tell you that one more time. If you are filled with pride, friend, it is impossible for you to receive God's blessings. And yet, tell the truth, pride is a sin we all struggle with. Pride was the sin that turned Lucifer the angel into Satan the devil and got him banished from heaven. He wanted to place his own throne above the throne of God. The sin of pride can do a great deal of damage to a church. When people start being too prideful to apologize or ask for forgiveness or admit they were wrong, you're heading for trouble. Verses 5 and 6, listen to what Peter says about how we're supposed to behave. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. And all of you, that means young and old, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Young people in the church are supposed to respect older people in the church and willingly submit to their leadership. Many times, though, a younger person thinks that he or she knows everything and that the parents' or the grandparents' point of view and values are out of date. Now, none of you have probably ever acted like that when you were teenagers, but perhaps you know a teenager who acts like that today. These young folks, they think they got it figured out until they get out in the real world. They get a few years on them. They get a little bit of experience, and then they start thinking, wow, mom and dad was pretty smart after all. My favorite quote about this comes from author Mark Twain. You know what he said? When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I couldn't stand to be around him. But when I turned 21, I was amazed at how much the old man had learned in just 7 years. Yeah, that's good stuff. Young people, pay attention to what the older folks are trying to tell you. It might save you a whole lot of pain, and you might be surprised at how much you can learn. Now, for you old folks that are starting to get prideful from what I just said, go get ready. Get ready. Two sides of this coin. Older folks, you need to be setting that example in the church for the young people. You also need to try to take the time to understand the young folks' point of view. Because if we ignore their suggestions and we ignore their ideas, we're going to discourage them and possibly cause them to think they don't have any kind of place or purpose in this church at all. We got to lead them by example, but we do that because we want to train them to be the leaders of this church one day. That means ridding ourselves of pride, displaying some humility, both to God and to one another. And if you do this, God will lift you up. You don't need to glorify yourself. God will do it. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. Let the Lord do that. And on that note, let me tell you something. Believe me, you will be humbled one way or the other. I would much rather see you humble yourself than make God have to humble you. Peter continues on the subject of humility, verse 7. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now you might say, well, what does casting all my worry and anxiety on God got to do with humility? Well, I'm going to tell you. Sometimes a problem comes into our life and we think, I don't really need God's help. I can do this thing on my own. So here's what you're saying. You got a problem in your life. Here's what you're saying. Hey God, don't even get up. I got this one. I got this. You can call that whatever you want. The Bible calls it pride. And if you think there are things you can do without Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus says himself in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. It takes humility to turn your problems over to God. If you fail to take your worry and anxiety to him, and you continue to carry it around and let it burden you, that really shows not that you're strong. It shows that you don't fully trust God. The Bible says you can trust him. Cast all your care and anxiety on him. Verse 8, we're shifting gears. Be controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. This is a great illustration. Now, I doubt too many of you have been to the Serengeti, but undoubtedly at some point in your life, as you've been clicking through channels, you've seen one of those wildlife shows where they showed a lion kind of hiding in the tall weeds and he's getting ready to attack. What kind of animals do lions attack? The weak ones who aren't paying attention, the ones who lag behind. You know what you never see? You never see a lone lion say, oh, yeah, I'm going to jump on that charging herd of rhinos and tear them up. Lion don't do that. What's he do? He waits for that one skinny antelope walking with a limp, right? And then he comes in and just wreaks havoc on the thing. Not only is this true in nature, this is true in the spiritual world as well. Peter says you need to be controlled and alert. Folks, you better wake up and be aware that the devil wants to devour you. And if you think he's not plotting on you right now, you're going to be in for a real unpleasant surprise. Before I became a pastor, most of you know, I worked for 16 years in corporate security and in law enforcement. And part of what I did for many, many years was I gave crime prevention presentations. If you've ever been to St. Louis and you've been paying attention, you know it can be an extremely violent place and it can happen quick. That's why you need to be alert. Now, let me give you a couple rules. These pertain not only to your physical safety, but your spiritual safety. Rule one, when it comes to avoiding an attack, friend, be aware of your surroundings. If you come out of work after dark, got your head all down, completely oblivious, oh, I'm sending a text message, or I'm seeing how many likes I got on my Facebook post, you're going to get jacked. But if you come out of work and you're looking around, you're walking with a purpose, more than likely you're probably going to get left alone. Rule two, if you can, walk to your car with a group of coworkers. Get a bunch of them, or we encourage people, hey, just just call for a uniformed officer to escort you to your car. Because I'm going to tell you right now, none of them young punk criminals out there on the street are going to mess with you and try to victimize you if they see you walking beside somebody with a big old gun strapped on their hip. And they're also not going to mess with you if they see that you are surrounded by coworkers who are also aware and alert. Oh, what I just say? Let's make the spiritual connection here. Here's what happens. Trouble comes. I see this all the time. Trouble comes. Many people make the mistake of keeping the problem to themselves. And when this problem begins to weigh them down, they start staying away from church. They isolate themselves from the very people they need to be surrounding themselves with. This is a huge mistake from a tactical and a spiritual standpoint. When you are in a weakened spiritual state, friend, and you choose to stay away from your church family, you are making yourself an easy target for the devil. Verse 9, Peter says you are to resist the devil by standing firm in the faith. Friend, you can't stand firm in the faith if you're avoiding your church family and trying to handle your problems all by yourself. You need to share your suffering with the body of Christ so you can receive strength and encouragement from them. This will help you not only resist attacks from the devil, it'll also make you realize that you're not alone in your suffering. Peter says brothers and sisters all over the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering you are. Look, many of you in here are going through trials today. I don't know what all of them are, but I do know this. The Word of God says that you are not alone. And if you reach out to your brothers and sisters that are here who love you, what you're going to find out is somebody else is either going through the exact same thing you're going through or they have already gone through it. And when you share those problems, you receive encouragement because you get to thinking, well, hey, God can deliver me from this problem just like he delivered this person from the problem. Verses 10 and 11, we're going to wrap it up. We got a final word of encouragement reminding us that our suffering here is only temporary. The glory we share with Jesus, it's eternal. Here's what Peter says. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, he himself will restore you and make you strong and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we close this up, let me remind you one thing real quick. The book of 1 Peter, it's our instruction manual for maintaining our Christian hope in times of trial. And I hope that some of these things we talked about in the last couple of weeks, they'll remain in your hearts and your minds to encourage you whenever you're going through a trial or some time of suffering. See, the day is approaching when Jesus is coming back. He's going to rescue us from all these earthly trials, from every single one of them. And much like the Apostle Peter, I now want to encourage you. Folks, remain alert. Stand firm in the faith. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for your truth. We thank you for these lessons that we learned today about how to remain alert and steadfast and stay strong even when we're suffering. Father, there are many in our number that are undergoing tremendous hard times right now. You know all about them. I pray, Lord, that they would submit themselves to you. Lord, that they would discuss and share these problems with others in the church so that they might receive encouragement and strengthen their faith. Have your perfect way, Lord, as we wrap this service up now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Gary, come on up. We're just going to do first and last on this last song. And hey, before we sing, let me remind you, once I give the benediction, Brother Gary will be up here. Brother Wade will come up here. If you have a prayer need in any area of your life, you come up here and share it with these guys and they'll pray for you right now. First and last verse. Would you please bow your heads for the benediction? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.